Today on Real Life Radio.
It's amazing. We can be in the sanctuary right now, and only God knows your heart. God knows your decision right now, right here today. All of us. We're not fooling anybody. Or I should say, we may be fooling everybody, but we can't fool God. And that's a soul-searching thing.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. You know, when you think about it, God didn't really have to make anything. But when He spoke and everything was created, there was no magic or illusion. And we, being made in His image, as the Bible says, it's safe to say that He really loves us. And He wants us to have a personal relationship with Him. So, if you want to get to know the God who created you, why don't you let us help? Simply go to our website, that's jackhibbs.com, and click on that tab that's labeled Know God, K-N-O-W, God. And once you're there, you're going to find out how a truly personal and remarkable relationship with God is actually possible. Remember, you are not here by accident, and God really does love you and care about you. Get that. Again, our resource is called Know God, spelled out K-N-O-W-G-O-D, and you'll find that at jackhibbs.com, jackhibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series on the Gospel of Luke with a message titled, Time's Up. Now, the Gospel of Luke is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus, as only Luke, the physician, could do. Here now, as we begin chapter 10, we'll consider how Jerusalem has always been the focal point of the world. You see, Jesus is now center stage as He heads towards Jerusalem and the cross. Time is running out, yet there's still so much that needs to be done. It's why He appoints His disciples and others to go into every city to share the good news that the Messiah has come. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that as the clock was running out to follow Jesus while He was still here on earth, the same is true for us today. God's mercy is eternal, but the time is short to benefit from it. Along with God's mercy, His love is eternal. But if we reject Him, there may not be another opportunity to receive Him. Now, with his message called Time's Up, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
It's amazing. It's almost like Zacchaeus. It's like the Lord has come to this house and there's eating and there's drinking and they're like, yeah, praise the Lord. Well, now it's time to go. Oh, before we go, this Russian's toast. We've never had Americans in our home. Let's toast. So he breaks out this huge bottle of cognac. And I said, Larissa, I can't drink that. I mean, I'll go, the ministry will go down the hole. The next thing I know, someone will pull out a camera to be on the front page of the Register, and Chuck Smith will be calling me up. Not going to do it. She goes, you have to do it. I'm not going to do it. She says, you'll offend him. This is our culture. You have to take a toast. I said, look, I don't know. And then I'm reminded of Mark's gospel. You shall drink poison, and you won't be hurt. So, Larissa, don't translate this. Oh, God, I'm talking to the Americans. Oh, God, help us. Lord, protect us. So they're so sweet. Let's stand. Yes, okay. And whatever. Yes. And they top it off. Everyone around the top. And now to our countries. Yes, all right. It's like, oh, no. Over and over and over and over and over and over and over. I'm not kidding. Then it was time to leave. Lisa, she's here. Remember that? It's time to leave. They have this some kind of egg. I don't know this. I never heard of it. It's an egg. Okay, we stand like this. Okay, now it's hold the egg and toast again. Toast, yes, okay. Now you come here and I go there and you toast, yes, all right. And it was over and over and over again. Not one of us got buzzed. Not one of us. And by the way, nobody in the family got buzzed either. They're probably thinking, let's keep toasting. This isn't working. It was the weirdest thing. It was the weirdest thing. But all the stuff that was said before, I could not have told them, no, sorry, I can't toast. I would have broke his heart. But God was powerful and precious. And he saved us. Now, don't any of you say, well, you know, praise the Lord. And now I'm going to go and witness to my neighborhood wino guy. And I'll have to go get drunk to share Jesus. No, you don't. There's a purpose to this life in that it's making people whole again. Doesn't the world misunderstand us constantly? Are we constantly misunderstood? All we want is people to have the joy and the peace that we have. The funny thing is, people turn to us and say, "We don't want your joy. We don't want your happiness. We want to be miserable. Stay out of our lives." Well, when they say that, we stay out of their lives. Listen, listen, wife, husband. Does your wife, has she heard the way? Does your husband know how to get to heaven? Have you told them that? I hope so. If they keep saying, "Will you be quiet?" Be quiet. Wife, no more talking to him about it. Did you tell him how to get there? Then leave it alone. Now it's time to pray. You just pray for him. Does he know how to get there? Yes. Then ask the Holy Spirit, "Dear God in heaven above, make him sicker than a dog until he loves you. Show him his need for you." I'm serious. I'm not kidding. I'm serious. Pray, "God, make them sick of this world. Whatever it takes, God, do that thing." Why? Because we just want them whole. We're so misunderstood. He said, "Heal the sick that are there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you." How practical is the gospel? Heal the sick and tell them the kingdom is near. What a great thing that is. You know, the context of this teaching, I don't know if I brought this up or not, is Jewish. They're in Jewish territory. These are Jewish converts, and they're going to Jewish homes. In fact, Jesus said in another place that he sent them, these here, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Why? Because the gospel had to first be preached to the nation of Israel before anywhere else in the world. And so it was. Heal them and say to them. Third point, and we'll be done. Time's up is this, because there's a limit to time itself. There is a limit. And what I mean by that is this, and it sounds kind of shocking at first, but there's a limit, verses 10 to 12, about love. The clock is running out on love. See, what do you mean by that? I thought God loves, that God is love. He is. The Bible says God is love. But listen, read the fine print. He also said that my spirit will not always put up with man. There comes a day, you know, for example, Pharaoh. "I will not listen to God. I will not listen to you, Moses." And Pharaoh stood so long, 10 times, he said, "I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to do it." You stand long enough in that, in your opinion, and it's like cement around your feet. You know, it's pretty scary if you think about it. Propaganda is very powerful. If you stand long enough in it, it becomes you. You become it. If you are one who is saying, "I don't want Jesus. In fact, I only came here for a free breakfast today. I don't want anything to do with God." Just know this. He's not going to grab you. He's not going to throw you down. We're not going to grab you. We'd love to throw you down and make you. It would be great if it was that easy. Can you imagine? "Say you're a Christian. Say it." If it was that, come on. I'm not going to say that part, but there have been people where they set up a camera and they say, "Tell them that you converted to Islam." And they kill them. Well, come on. Couldn't we as Christians do something like that? We're gonna have an outreach at the Anaheim Stadium. Everybody come forward. Lay down. God's not into that. What is that? Choose today whom you will serve. God is not some sort of a thug. You don't want him. You don't have to have him. Just know what you're doing. "I don't want God." Okay, then you don't have to have him. I highly recommend you change your mind, though. There's a limit to his love. He loves and he is, but you can say no so much that he starts to rescind it. And that's a very sad thing.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
He says, whatever city you enter into, if they do not receive you, go out of its streets and say this. This is radical. The very dust of your city, you can almost hear them shouting, but listen, which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, the kingdom of God has come near to you. It's an indictment, but please don't misunderstand. Watch me. The disciples didn't come when they said, you know what, get out of here. We don't want your Jesus. We don't want you. Get out of here. Shoo! Get! Okay. This is what they did not do. They didn't come out to the city limits. They didn't slap their shoe and knock off the dust and say, turn or burn! No. The whole thing implies that they're heartbroken. They're so excited. Can you imagine? Imagine for a moment, if you are in that group of 70 and you are the one who, for example, like Mark chapter 7, verses 35 to 37, you are the man who was deaf and unable to speak, and Jesus touched your tongue and made you able to speak. And it says even in Mark chapter 7, when Jesus said, now don't tell anybody I did this to you. This guy goes, he just got done, God touched his tongue and now he can speak. The guy just goes, okay. Turns right around. Hey, guess what God did for me? The Bible says the more he was told not to do it, the more he went around and proclaimed it. That's cute disobedience, you know? Maybe he's in that group. Can you imagine? Yes? Hi. Did you hear about me? It was in the front page of the newspaper. I'm the guy who Jesus touched. Remember? I remember hearing about this. I'm the guy. Listen, the kingdom of God's near you. The Messiah's here. Listen, here's his message. You know what? Get out of here. It's a heartbreak because you know the truth. They don't want it. It's kind of like introducing your kid for the first time to ice cream. They're like, no, here, Tate. And you got to grab the kid by the head and put the ice cream on his lip. And then he goes, It breaks your heart. You don't know what you're missing. You know? Come on. I don't want to get out of here. Here you are. Your heart is pumped up, filled with the love of God, and you love other souls now, and they don't want to hear it. Well, not only love is running out, but listen to this. The clock is running out on mercy. This is tough. Verses 13 to 15. Jesus says, woe to you, Chorazin. By the way, Chorazin was recently on earth. It's not all that. It's been lost for millennia. It's been found. Woe to you, Bethsaida. That town is, well, it's not even a town, but it's been known. Archaeologists have unearthed these two spots. Actually, all these spots. For if the mighty works which had been done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, that's in Lebanon today. That's a nasty area back then. That's Gentile region. Wow, he's saying, you know what? If I would have done these miracles where a bunch of Gentiles are at, they would have believed in me from the get-go. Yikes. Bunch of Gentiles are accepting a Jewish Messiah if it was in Tyre and Sidon. Listen to this. He says in verse 14, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And look at verse 15. And you, Capernaum, you are exalted to heaven. You will be brought down to Hades. Wow. It was bad enough with Chorazin and Bethsaida, but what's with Capernaum? Capernaum, by the way, we visit there today. There's only remnants. There's nobody. Nobody lives there. There's a reconstructed synagogue there. Peter's home has been unearthed there. But nobody lives there. You know what the word woe means? In Greek, it's uai. And it means damned be you. Damned are you. You're condemned. You saw so much. You heard everything about the kingdom. And you shut your doors to it. There's nothing left. I'm not damning you. Your decision has damned you. Think about that. And then he says, Capernaum, they get the worst. Why? Again, remember, to this moment, nobody lives there today. Why? Because Matthew says Capernaum was Jesus' ministry headquarters when he was in the Galilee. They saw and heard everything. Their little town hosted Jesus, and they turned on him. And Jesus says, it's going to be tough for you. And then we end with this. The clock is running out on them. On them. He who hears you, hears me. He who rejects you, verse 16, rejects me. And he who rejects me, rejects him who sent me. He who hears, he who rejects. And there's the difference. It's amazing. We can be in the sanctuary right now, And only God knows your heart. God knows your decision right now, right here today, all of us. We're not fooling anybody. Or I should say, we may be fooling everybody, but we can't fool God. And that's a soul-searching thing. I'm going to read you, you can rest. I'm going to read you a couple of verses here. I want you to listen very carefully to these verses. They're very famous. One of these you've seen at a football game, I'm sure. Jesus said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man will be lifted up," referring to the cross, "that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Listen, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Listen, "He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten, that is, glorified Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love darkness more than the light." A reference to the Lord himself. A decision. What will you choose? You will either say, "I want this," or "I don't want this." No one is responsible for that decision but you alone. Okay, listen. We're going to pray in a moment. But there is no way that we could do a message like this when Jesus says, "Go, go, go," unless, how many of us are Christians? Raise your hand. A whole lot of you. There's enough people in this room to change the world. Wow. Now you're in trouble because you just raised your hand. I cannot give this message today without all of us, at the very least, listening to what Jesus says about this. He's asked us to go. Actually, he's told us to go. And so this week, this is your homework. All of us are going to ask the Lord, starting today, in fact, I'll ask for you in a moment, "Lord, open up a door and let me know it, that it's the door. And cause me, God, this week to tell someone about your Son, Jesus. Lord, I don't want to be hearers of the word only, but a doer of the word." Now, some of you are saying, "Oh, don't do that." Listen, first of all, every Christian should know how to tell someone about Jesus. If you don't, we have classes. We have the call ministry that you can be schooled and remove all of that question about, "How do I do that?" We have a great ministry. You can sign up today after the service in the courtyard and sign up for this thing. It's great. But if you're a Christian, you can tell someone what Jesus has done for you. You say, "Well, I don't know. I don't talk to people publicly. I don't know that." Just say, "God, open the door. Lord, open the door and let me know it." You guys, he's bigger than all of our fears. We all have the fears. You say, "You don't." I do too. Last Tuesday, I was at Cal Poly sharing Jesus with Muslims that are on the campus there. I get tongue-tied. I get nervous. My mouth dries up every time until I say something. As soon as you say something, God wets your mouth, calms your heart, and it's awesome. It's kind of like getting to the beach for the first time. "It's cold. It's cold. It's cold. Just get in." We all go through that because it's impossible. He's got to do it. And you're going to do it this week. Now look, let's pray. Father, I ask you, Lord God, that you would set our hearts as Jesus' was to Jerusalem, that you would set our hearts today to IBM, DuPont, Joe's Bar and Grill, the neighborhood, the house, the construction site, the office, wherever. Open our eyes. In the name of Jesus, we ask you to hold us accountable to this moment. And Lord, let our faith grow as today we begin, Lord, to see you do something completely new in our lives. Radical. And yet it shouldn't be. Heavenly Father, galvanize us to this task. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, time is late. In fact, nobody looking around. We are so out of time that I got to do this fast. Let that be a witness to you. Anybody this morning does not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you don't know the love of God, you don't know what it's like to be forgiven, you don't know what it's like to have joy, you don't know what it's like to have something to tell somebody that's worthy of your life, you have nothing to live for, really, that matters. This morning, do you want your sins forgiven and Christ as your Lord and Savior? I'm going to ask you one time right now. Imagine that an earthquake just like happened a few hours ago, some killer earthquake just hit somewhere in the world just a few hours ago. What if it's going to happen here? Are you ready? Heads bowed, eyes closed, Christians praying. Here it is. Will you today say, yes, I want Jesus as my Lord and Savior? Put your hand up now and I'll see your hand go up and I would love to meet you later. But that's what you want in your life. You want Christ. God bless you. Anyone else? This whole service today was for that one guy? That's fantastic. No, a guy and a girl. Anybody else? According to the Bible, three people. There's angels rejoicing in heaven, four people. Father, I ask you to bless these who are being convicted by your Spirit that they need Jesus. Lord, I pray that you'd overwhelm them. Father God, that you would come upon them, and Lord, that they would know that it is you. As they, Lord, have agreed, they need you as the one who forgives them of their sins, the one that writes their name down in the Lamb's Book of Life, the one who saves them. Jesus, we give you these precious ones, and we give you our lives, Lord, all of us. And we ask you, Father God, that you'd make us a people that are busy about what matters to you. Thank you, Lord. Bless these, your church. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Time's Up. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Pastor Jack, years ago, there was a great book that came out, Evidence That Demands a Verdict. Made a big difference in my life.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure millions of lives. Tell me more about this new one.
Yeah, Josh McDowell, who really rocked the atheistic world when he put out his first print of Evidence That Demands a Verdict, because he came from the area of being an atheist. He wanted to disprove the existence of God. So he went about on an intellectual, scientific pursuit, almost like a forensic dive into debunking the Bible.
Right.
And what that did to him was that when he couldn't debunk it, he wound up having gone through a tremendous faith struggle. And then Josh McDowell later on became one of the great apologists in the 20th and 21st century. Now, with this Evidence That Demands a Verdict, he's included his fantastic, wonderful son, Sean McDowell. So together, they give us now an updated version, over 750 pages long, Davey. This is not a sit-down, cuddle-up book. This is a reference book.
Yeah.
You go to it when you need it, and you peruse it. And you let it challenge you. But by all means, every Christian should have this book in their library.
I remember seeing him years ago on an interview, Josh McDowell, and I was so convinced with how convinced he was.
Wow, that's a really great observation, because, and that should be true. You know, George Whitefield was preaching the gospel, and Benjamin Franklin was there listening.
Yeah.
And David Hume came, and everybody was saying, that's the great atheist.
Right.
Why is he here? Mm-hmm. And somebody asked him, why are you here, Mr. Hume? You don't believe in what Whitfield's preaching. And he said, I don't believe, but I'm here because he believes it.
Isn't that great?
What a witness.
Isn't that great?
Hey, maybe people, you know, will come and take a listen to what we believe because they can tell we believe it.
Yeah, isn't that great? Evidence That Demands a Verdict, Life-Changing Truth for a Skeptical World by Josh McDowell and Sean McDowell. It's yours for a gift of any amount, and it's available at our website, jackhibbs.com. One more time, jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.